Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. There was an Irish priest who was driving to New York, and halfway through Connecticut, he got caught for speeding. The trooper walked up to his car and immediately noticed the smell of alcohol on the priest's breath. And he looked over on the seat, and there was an empty bottle of wine. "Father, have you been drinking?" asks the officer. "Just water," replies the priest. Having none of that, the officer slowly and deliberately asks him, "Then why do I sense that strong odor of alcohol on your breath? And it's also coming out of the inside of the car." Without so much as a blink in the eye, the priest looks down at the empty bottle and realizes his situation and says, "Mother Mary be praised, he's done it again." The gospel lesson today is the story of Jesus turning water into wine at the wedding in Cana. And it's one that we hear every 3 years. Most of us have heard it a lot of times before. And we have always heard it from the perspective of kind of a third person standing aside, watching all of these people doing things and listening to what they have to say. I thought it might be interesting to see what it would be like from the perspective of one of those jars of water. And so I came across a story that will perhaps give us that perspective. My apologies, I'm going to read this. I'm not a thespian. I will do my best to give it some good emphasis and make it an interesting story. So there we were, just six common, ordinary stone jars that held 20 or 30 gallons of, well, to be perfectly honest, dirty water. The water in us was used for that Jewish rite of purification. Jews always washed after they came in from the market and walking down their dusty streets. There was nothing special about us. We weren't brightly colored or brightly decorated. We didn't have carvings on our outside. We were just plain, ordinary jars. The more important jars were those that contained liquids for drinking inside the house. The longer we were in service, the more mud and dirt and filth collected in each of us. We were rarely, if ever, rinsed out or cleaned. We just needed to be functional and live out our life doing what we were made to do. So there we stood at the entrance of the house that we served, with all of that filth and dirt and mud at the bottom of us that no one ever really noticed. One time I remember, wow, what a surprise it was like to be used in that way and made to feel so important. We knew something was up when there were lots of people who had been invited to the house. It turns out that the young woman of the house was getting married. People kept coming and coming, and they came from all around the area. And of course, they walked, and so consequently, they had dirty feet and dirty hands. And it was our job to hold the water that washed those dirty hands and feet as they entered the house. There was this one group that was particularly interesting and stood out from the rest of us. I can't exactly say what was different about them, but the guy who seemed to be their leader of the group of a dozen or more had a special aura about him. And it has stuck with me all these years. We just knew he was special as soon as we saw him walk in. They called him Jesus. These wedding feasts could last for several days, sometimes even a week. And so we were on duty, as it were. The celebration was going well. And as far as we were concerned, there was only another occasional visitor. We would have those hands and feet washed in the water that we contained. But then all of a sudden something happened that was very disastrous and obviously troubled the groom. There was a huge problem. The wine had all been consumed. Now, we never knew just why, but when people drank the colored water from the other much fancier and nicer containers in the house, people became very happy and everyone had a much better time. Well, this day the groom became very concerned because they had run out of this wine. We never did figure out why running out of wine was such a terribly embarrassing thing to have happen at a wedding celebration. But I must say there was quite a stir going on behind the scenes. It was then that things got a little more strange. The mother of the leader of the group that I spoke with about just a minute ago told her son that he should do something about that. And his response was a little strange. He said, "Woman, my time has not yet come." We poor jars didn't really understand what he meant by that, but we knew from listening to other discussions that it wasn't disrespectful in the way he spoke to her. It was just a formal way of addressing a respected female. But still, we had no idea what he meant by saying, "My time has not yet come." A few years later, we learned that he had been arrested and was crucified. That in itself was not such an uncommon event. But rumor had it that he rose again from the dead. When I heard that, I was not all surprised, because after the events at this wedding, I knew something was special, something really, really special about this Jesus. So anyway, his mother brushed off his words about this time not coming thing and told the servants of the house to do whatever this Jesus told them to do. And what he told them to do was a total surprise. He told those servants to fill all six of us with water, right up to the brim. Now, this was nothing new. We were regularly filled and refilled, but the dust and the dirt from people's hands and feet settled so that there was a layer of mud and filth at the bottom of us jars. And when more water was added, the mud was stirred up, making the water cloudy and especially disgusting. But what this Jesus said next just blew us all away. He told the servants to take some of this dirty, filthy, and unpalatable water to the master of the feast so he could taste it. Yikes! We just knew this could not turn out well. No one wants to drink dirty, filthy, muddy water. But Jesus' words were no more spoken when we all realized something miraculous had happened. The dirty, muddy water within us had changed. That tainted water had been changed into a sweet-flavored wine that was clearly something exceptional to the palate. When the master of the feast tasted the wine, he was totally astonished. You see, at most feasts, the best wine is served first, and after the people have had a lot to drink, then they serve the inferior wine. I guess by that time they're having so much fun, the taste of the wine didn't much matter. But we were astonished too. We just couldn't believe it. This guy, not more than 30 years old, had changed filthy, tainted, muddy water into the purest, most delicious wine that anyone had ever tasted. Even the other fancy containers in the house were jealous of our being able to provide the guests with this wonderful gift. And there was so much of it, enough to serve a couple thousand people. And he also saved the groom from embarrassment of running out of wine at his wedding. That in itself would have been a great faux pas, recalled every year at their wedding anniversary. But what I remember most is the man who turned this dirty, muddy water into wine. He didn't make a big deal out of what he had done. In fact, the only people who knew what had truly happened were the servants and the 12 guys who were with him. But can you imagine what they must have thought? Surely they now knew that this Jesus was something special, someone to whom they should listen and learn, because he was going to do great things in the world. If he could change dirty, filthy water into wine, that meant he was control in everything of this world. It meant he could heal people. It meant he could make the deaf to hear, the blind to see, the lame to walk. It meant he could cure incurable diseases. It meant he could cast out demons. It meant he would be able to control the wind and the storms. Now that I think about it, we had heard something about a new king coming, a Messiah that had been promised for hundreds of years. This Messiah, we heard, was going to save the world. But we didn't know anything about that. We couldn't discuss that. Remember, we were just plain ordinary jars made to hold water at a wedding feast. But to this day, we are still amazed at this guy. A guy who wanted no credit for turning water into wine, and not just any wine, but the best wine that anyone had ever tasted. And we, poor, dirty, chipped, faded, and worn, and damaged vessels who were hiding mud and filth within our depths of ourselves, were used to do this miraculous thing. Not only that, this was the first miracle that this Jesus had performed. What an honor. What an amazing thing he would use us for. We just ordinary, plain, common, ignored jars to begin to demonstrate his power and his might. We can still not believe it to this very day. And so remember, whether you are new or old, whether you are beautifully decorated or have no external beauty, whether you have suffered abuse and can barely function, no matter how dirty you feel inside, even though you look okay on the outside, you can still be used in the creation of a miracle. This guy Jesus, this Messiah, can use you in ways that are far beyond your greatest imagination. He can use you to change the hearts of men and women, even now, centuries later. A few years later, we heard that this wine, along with bread, had been used for another celebration. It was a celebration to make those humans who were also muddy and dirty on the inside as pure as the water that he changed into wine. What a joy that must have been to those people. How comforted they must feel when they receive that bread and wine, knowing that all the muddy water inside their heart is changed, and they are made pure and holy, and all this through the work of that Messiah, the guy who changed us from dirty and muddy on the inside to pure and holy. Amen. Now may the peace that surpasses all understanding keep our hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.